All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 for our thoughts. I want to preach on the subject of a big misunderstanding. Anybody ever had a misunderstanding? Amen. How about a misunderstanding with the Lord? We ever had a misunderstanding with Him? Not He with us, but we with Him. Because we misinterpret what we think He wants to get across to us. My brother in the devotional this morning blessed my heart because I thought, did he read the same text I'm going to preach on? Because it's kind of similar to that. We hear what we want to hear, don't we? We don't pay attention. All right, everybody in Mark 8, let's begin with verse 10. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Perceive you not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Let's pray. Father, now as we break the bread of life, we ask for your blessings on your word. Pray, Father, that your word will speak to our hearts, reach its intended purpose in our lives. And Lord, we ask that your word not return void, but accomplish those things that you will. Father, encourage us in your word this morning. Lord, for those of us that are believers, I pray, Father, that we'll take your word to heart. And Lord, we will see with our eyes, and we will hear with our ears. And Father, if there's one here amongst us that doesn't know you, free pardon of sin, I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts and draw them to you before it's eternally too late. Bless this service. May everything we do honor and glorify you. We pray, Father, for those requests that are spoken and unspoken in our hearts. We just seek that you do as you see fit. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for the time you've given us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please. Straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. First of all, this takes place right after he fed 4,000 people. And remember what he asked, did we not take up 7 basketful? And you're worrying about bread. Understand now, he gets on a ship and he heads to Dalmanutha. Let me just say this. That little place is only mentioned once in Scripture. You said, well, where was it? Well, it was a little north of Tiberias and a little west of Galilee. It was a very small place. In fact, how many of you have ever heard of Magdala? Who come from Magdala? Mary Magdalene. And by the way, They were very close to one another. They were very, very close. So, again, it was a place that the Lord went. And let me just say this real quick before we really get into the message. Aren't you thankful that it wasn't just the big places where the big crowds were that Jesus went? He went to those little places everywhere where men, women, boys, and girls needed to hear the gospel. Aren't you thankful He was willing to go to where you and I dwelled? And we could hear? Aren't you thankful He said, no, there's not enough people over there. I mean, boy, today, I hate to say it, but these big-time churches and preachers, it's got to be numbers. It ain't about numbers. It should be about souls. It should be about reaching people with the gospel, no matter the big city or small village. And let me just say this about the Sea of Galilee. Brother Bob can attest to it. Lori can. Those that have been to Israel. It is a lake, okay? Not a very large lake. But I want you to understand, it's some of the most breathtaking scenery I've ever seen. Out in the desert is a lake. They say the Sea of Galilee. And it's beautiful. And I want to tell you, I imagine, since it was close to Capernaum, I imagine Peter and Andrew and the other disciples spent a lot of time there just sitting and reflecting on the beauty of God's creation and the ability to get alone with God without any distractions. And let me tell you, if you ever go to the Sea of Galilee, there's plenty of places you can get away from the distractions of the world. It's just amazing. Just listening to the water hit the shore. You can literally feel God's presence. It's amazing. So, the Lord has performed the miracle. He gets on the ship. And let me just say, the Pharisees, everywhere He went, they were there to trick and to make fun of and to try to tell people and sway them, this man is a fake. He's not the Messiah. But understand something about the Lord. First of all, we know that He is God. We understand His deity. He's God. But also, not only was He 100% deity, He was also 100% man. Understand, it must have got old. It must have got tiresome. Every time He went somewhere, here was this bunch trying to prove He's not who He claimed to be. And after a while, that gets old. But thank God that, you know what, Jesus didn't throw in the towel. Hey, He confronted them when He had to. Now, it says, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him. You know, I still don't get this. How many miracles had Jesus performed before this? How many times did the Pharisee see the Lord performed miracles, and yet here they come to tempt Him and to say, show us a sign that you're who you claim to be. Do you know it's still like that today? People still want some type of sign from heaven to prove that God is real, to prove that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior and Redeemer. They're always looking for signs. Understand, we are saved by grace through faith, simple trust in the finishing, atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I don't need a sign. The cross is enough. Also, let me say this morning, not only is the cross enough, but I have God's holy Word. It is God's truth. It's not man's truth. It's God's truth. And He reveals who He is. I do not have to have a sign. But have you noticed today, people are always wanting signs. I want to tell you, the greatest miracle, Jesus performed many of them. I mean, to think that He brought life to the dead physically, that's a miracle. Him feeding those multitudes with a few loaves and a few fish, that's a miracle. Him restoring sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, being able to deliver those literally that were lepers and give them a new body basically. And we can keep going on. He walked on water. Amen. He just by commanding, Brother Cheryl was able to calm a raging storm. There's many miracles that He has performed. But the greatest miracle of all is when He takes a dead, lost sinner who's dead in sins and trespasses and convicts and converts and reconciles that individual who becomes an heir to God and His kingdom. That's the greatest miracle. And I'm here to tell you, all of us that have been washed and saved by the blood of Jesus can attest we're miracles. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all. The greatest miracle of all. But here are the Pharisees. You see, I guess they thought, we're just going to keep on harping. Maybe this time He'll call down fire from heaven or He'll show. But Jesus says, listen to me, I am not some monkey in a circus. I don't have to perform a miracle, because even if I did, you wouldn't believe. And even if I did, you'd want something else and something else. And there are people just like that today. Show us the Father. It suffices us. I love what Jesus said. Hey, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. You've already been shown. Yep. Jesus said, not this time, guys. And He gets in the ship. And they start to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Word of God says in the next verse, He sighed deeply in His spirit and says, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. As I just said a moment ago, He sighed. You say, well, I thought He wanted to get the gospel to everyone. The goal is, Jesus came to save everyone, to minister and give His life a ransom for all. But the sad fact is, not everyone is going to receive Christ. They reject Him all the time. And He told them, why does this generation seek a sign? There was really no reason to seek a sign when you had the real deal right in front of you. Now, understand this also. Even the disciples had the real thing in front of them, but yet they lacked faith. Amen. Now, He says, and left them, and entering the ship, again departed to the other side. Verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than a loaf. Well, understand, when Jesus was in Dalmanutha. Thank you, sister. Those words just don't roll off my tongue. Amen. Say that three times real fast. You'll think you're speaking in tongues. Understand. When they were over there, they thought they were going to be there for a while. But no, the Pharisees came and started their nonsense. And Jesus said, you know, I ain't got time for this hooey-fooey. And he got on the boat and said, let's go. Well, they didn't have any food, no bread, but a loaf. You can't feed a whole lot on a loaf. Amen? And notice what he said. Verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, notice the example he uses. He's talking about leaven, which is yeast. If you place yeast in a bowl of dough, guess what's going to happen? It's going to rise. It's going to affect that whole loaf. It's the same thing with false teaching. It's the same thing with false doctrine. Understand. You don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Oh, that Jehovah Witness, bless his heart. He comes to my door and, at least he's trying. No. He's peddling false doctrine. It should not be allowed. You should not be allowed to entertain even being around such. You're not going to change them. Only God can. But I guarantee you, if you don't know the Word of God, you're not studied up, you're not prayed up, I guarantee you, you might be swayed. Well, maybe they're right. No. First of all, and I'm not going to throw grenades at the Jehovah Witnesses, but I'm going to just clue you in on something. They do not believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. And they believe in self-righteousness to get you, not heaven, because only 144,000 can go. Why are we here if only 144,000 in the whole wide world are going to get to go to heaven? The rest of us are going to be on the earth. But listen, Brother Shield, if you're good, if you're not good, you're just going to burn up. Boom! Total annihilation. You don't suffer torment in hell. You just burn up. Again, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. When it comes to self-righteousness and your own merit and your own goodness, listen, if someone starts quoting that nonsense, leave. Or put them in their place if you know this. That's right, my sister. I and the Father are one. Again, beware. And here are the disciples. The Lord has a lesson, a spiritual lesson. He's not trying to teach a physical lesson. He's wanting to teach a great spiritual lesson, a great truth. But here are the disciples. And before we throw rocks at them, we are more like them than what we think. Amen? How many times has the Lord spoke to us and we just didn't get it? That's why it's important. And I'll get in trouble, but I'll say it anyway. Why is it when it comes to the Scripture, we don't read the Word of God in context? No. Well, my opinion is that's where you mess up. It ain't about our opinion. It's about God's holy word. Understand. The reason we miss what he's trying to tell us is because a lot of times we think, well, what he's saying doesn't apply to us. Oh, that passage is for Brother Bob. Not me. Here's the problem with that. When God speaks to one, he speaks to all of us that hear it. And it applies to every one of us. Amen? Every one of us. Notice, charge them saying, take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves saying, it's because we had no bread. Y'all ever been there? God has spoken to your heart. You know what he said. But you say, oh, that's not it. Surely not it. No, he's not talking to me. He don't want me to do that. You know, I'm sure Jesus being 100% human, I'm sure there were several he would like to throw out of the ship. Amen? Goodness, how long have you been with me? I taught you, and here you go. I've asked myself before, how many times has the Lord showed me in his word and taught me, and he's went over it over and over, and I still don't get it. What does he think of me? Lord, I'm glad he's patient. He's long-suffering. Because he loves us. And even though we disappoint him and we sometimes don't get it, he's still willing to teach us if we'll submit and obey his word. Now, and when Jesus knew it, did y'all get that? He knew, even before he spoke, how they were going to react. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Now think about, he perceived. And he says, y'all are thinking of physical bread. And I'm speaking about spiritual bread. And you don't even comprehend. You don't understand. And because of it, your old heart's hard. It's not receptive. Here is what else he said. Having eyes, see you not. Having ears, hear you not. And do you not remember? You see, they were thinking, oh, he's speaking about bread. And Jesus goes, no, it's not the physical bread. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to give you a great, profound, spiritual truth. It's not about the bread. Did I not feed 5,000? And did you not take up 12 basketful of fragments after everyone ate? Did I not just feed 4,000? And did you not pick up 7 baskets full of fragments, leftovers? And here you are thinking, I'm talking about bread. If I can do that, don't worry about the bread, one loaf. Anytime I want, I can get us bread. God can do anything if we will allow him. And we will believe by faith. They were thinking bread. Now, real quick, when are we going to comprehend? You see, God speaks to all of us. When are we going to comprehend what He's saying to us? And when are we going to act upon it? Sometimes He speaks and we just drag our feet. We act like we don't see. And we act like we don't hear. And He says, what is wrong with y'all? And no, it wasn't a harsh rebuke. But He still rebuked them because of their lack of faith and they're not willing to listen. My brother brought out a very good devotional this morning. You missed a good one if you wouldn't hear. Talking about that very thing. Seeing what God shows us and hearing what God says and applying those to our lives. Notice what He says. When I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? Right off the bat, 12. Hey. Okay, maybe they're going to listen now. 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said 7. And look at what He says. And He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? You see, there's certain things we better pay attention to when it comes to the Lord speaking. Most important thing we better pay attention to is our relationship with God through the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross for our sins. What I'm trying to say is when it comes to salvation, you better pay attention. You don't want half-heartedly have your eyes halfway opened or your ears halfway. You want to fully understand. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we might be reconciled to God through the imputed righteousness that God places upon each person that receives Jesus as their personal Savior. You see, it's that imputed righteousness that reconciles us to God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when He sees me and you, those of us that have been born again, those of us that are saved, when He sees us, He doesn't see our righteousness because of our unrighteousness, Jesus had to be the only and perfect sacrifice that God would accept. But because of His righteousness, He bore every sin ever committed in His own body. That's hard to fathom. I can't even begin. But it's the epitome of grace and mercy and love. But understand, through His sacrifice, you and I can be received to the family of God. So, you better understand. If you accept Him, you're in the family and you're saved. But if you reject Him, then judgment and hell is all there is that will await you. I know I've talked to people and they've got it in their head that nope, listen. God is too loving. God does love us. My goodness. My brother passage that we read before worship. 1 John 1. 1 John 4. Throughout that whole book of 1 John, it's about the love of God. And He does love us. But understand, He's a God of judgment. And you understand, I pray you understand. You know God can't look at sin. He can't stand sin. He ain't going to be around sin. And if you die in your sins, then you will face His wrath in judgment. And let me tell you what the penalty is for your sin. It's death. Eternal separation from God in a place of torment called hell. Understand. Do you understand that? And second, do you understand that God wants us to live and serve Him? And God wants us to obey what He's trying to teach us. Where is your walk with the Lord? And when's the last time He's tried to teach you something and you got it and you obeyed? Too many times. Kind of like what told old Paul when Jesus told him on the road to Damascus, Paul, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You see, Paul was a religious man. He thought he was doing God's work, God's will. But it was just the opposite. The Lord had to get him to understand. And praise God, he finally did. God had to knock him down. He had to look up. How many of us have been knocked down by the Lord? Oh my goodness. Listen, I stand before you because He did knock me down and put me flat on my back. I had no place but to look up. And you know what? Greatest thing ever happened to me. Do you understand? Salvation is real. He is who He claimed to be. There will be skeptics. They'll come around the door saying, oh, I got a revelation. He's this, He's that. No, He is the way, He is the truth, and He's the life. And no one comes to the Father except by Him. So, in close, Pharisees want a sign. Nope, I ain't dealing with you. You say, well, that's kind of unfair. They just needed Jesus. No, they hated Jesus. They weren't going to change. And even Jesus said, be careful when it comes to casting pearl before swine. You say, oh, that's a terrible thing to say. No. Jesus said it. I'm just repeating what He said. And was Jesus right? All the time. So, He wants us to see with our eyes open. When He speaks, when He has something to teach us, He wants us to hear His voice when He speaks. Not selective hearing. I'll be the first to admit sometimes I have selective hearing. For one, I can't hear nothing out of this ear. So I have to use my good ear. But sometimes when my wife, honey, will you take out the trash? Huh? Sometimes it's selective. But she's my wife. Sister, it's just something men do. We bow up. It's a gift. Thank you, Brother Arnie. But listen to me. That's my wife. Bless her heart. She took me like I am all those years ago. But when it comes to Jesus, we don't turn a deaf ear. We don't have selective hearing. Oh, I'll take a little of what God's word says here, but that don't apply to me. No, you take it all. And finally, when is the last time He's dealt with your heart? Is your heart hard when it comes to sin? You know, the bad thing about yeast, a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. The bad thing about it is, if you just let a little in, you'll be surprised at how far you come crashing down. You see, one of the biggest lies Satan ever told was, a little bit ain't going to hurt you. Y'all ever heard that? Devil loves to whisper that. A little bit ain't going to hurt you. Go on. I mean, you only live once. No, that ain't true. I live forever. And I have to see those scars that I put in my Savior's hand and feet. I have to see the scar on His forehead where it was me that placed that crown on His head. It was me and my sin that had a spear thrust into His side. So no. This life is not mine. It's His. It's His. So, do you not understand? If you're under the sound of my voice and you've yet to receive Christ, you come. If you're under the sound of my voice and you're not where you once was in your walk with the Lord, come. Whatever need you have, bring it to Jesus. Amen.